Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a pretty decent show scheduled for you today. And yeah, let me get my house cleaning done and we'll get into it. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can also catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. I suggest you check them out. There's a lot of really cool geek-centered programming, a lot of good music. And I believe, last I knew, my very good friends at the Talk Nerdy To Me podcast were in negotiations to air their show. So hopefully that went through well and they are aired as well. You can also catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I'll try to use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And you can catch me on YouTube, which is honestly the best way to reach out to me. I'm listed under Superhero Deep Dive. I post superhero meme videos every day. I post random videos throughout the week as well. Sometimes they're animal videos. I've been getting into this whole, like, kind of really cool t-shirt design art, AI-generated art stuff. So I'll post videos through that. Every once in a blue moon, I will do live broadcasts, but they haven't been too frequent. But yeah, follow me there. You know, like, subscribe, comment. If you have any questions, comments, fun facts I may have missed, if you have requests for future episodes, that's a great place because everything gets acknowledged. And if it's something like I missed something, I may have actually done that on purpose because I didn't feel it was important to the character, or it could be something I just didn't know. If you have ideas for the character that I may have missed, or you didn't like my suggestions and you went with your own, that's awesome. Share that with me, because we can have a discussion, and who knows? Who knows who's watching this? I don't, because I don't know. but you know what? It wouldn't be too out of the realm of possibility for stuff to flourish, and we come up with this whole awesome storyline, right? But anyways. Now that's being said, let me get into the podcast. Let me get into the deep dive. I'm going to be talking about Vulcan. That's Gabriel Summers. That is the long-lost Summers brother, which also he has a fine collection of gems, jellies, and preserves. All right, that was a terrible joke, but, you know, whatever. All right, so Vulcan's history. He began on the Shi'ar throne world as the unborn child of Christopher Summers, who's Corsair, and Catherine Summers. They're the parents of Cyclops and Havok. Catherine was pregnant when the Summers were abducted by Daken, Magister of the Shi'ar Imperium. The unborn child was seemingly killed when the Mad Emperor, in retaliation for an attempt by Corsair to escape, stabbed Catherine and killed her. The fetus was removed from Catherine's lifeless body and placed in an incubation accelerator, which is used to breed slaves. As a result, the child was aged to the prime of adolescence. Sent to Earth to become a slave for Eric the Red, the Emperor's hand on Earth, he escaped and was found by Moira MacTaggert with little or no memories of who he was or where he came from. She took him in as her ward, like kind of like Robin, and instructed him in the use of his nascent powers. He claimed his name was Gabriel, but he chose the codename of Vulcan from a book on Roman mythology, and Charles Xavier recognized his mental imprint as being related to Cyclops, and his age suggests he is older at the time. Vulcan became part of a team of X-Men formed by Petra, Darwin, and Sway, that attempted to rescue the original X-Men from the sentient island Krakoa. Viewing Vulcan as a menace, Krakoa sent a human-shaped volcano to deal with his team, killing the two women and leaving Darwin and Vulcan for dead. With the help of his dying teammates, Vulcan was able to survive. Reawakened in modern days by the mutant energies released during M-Day, he returns from his space exile to get revenge against Professor Xavier, killing Banshee in the process, as well as attempting to kill Logan and even kidnapping Rachel Summers and Cyclops. Now, there's a part here that may have caught some of you guys' attention. It sounds familiar, right? When he goes to Krakoa to save part of, or to save the original X-Men, you know, with Petra, Darwin, and Sway. Okay, here's the story behind that, and it's kind of important. That story was originally, you know, with Wolverine and Storm and Firestarter. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. Japanese one. Fire Powers. But Thunderbird was in it. The original Thunderbird. I believe Banshee was in it as well. But anyways, that was the original story. This kind of was added in as this was the team before that team. So this was the first attempt to get the original X-Men, and it failed. So then they had the other people go in and do it, and now they're the kind of second level X-Men that you know today and love because they were awesome. All right, let me get back to this. Vulcan subconsciously uses the absorbed powers of Petra and Sway to manipulate the X-Men and figures out the truth of the mystery behind the missing team of X-Men that were lost on Krakoa. That's what it is. Vulcan is able to lure Professor Xavier out of hiding and confronts him in front of the X-Men, wanting the professor to reveal to them all what really happened to Vulcan and his team. However, Xavier is unable to do so because in the wake of M-Day, he is no longer a mutant. Enraged, Vulcan commands Marvel to link their minds so that everyone can see what transpired. Reluctantly, Rachel does so, and with Xavier as a guide, she is able to not only reveal the truth behind what really happened on Krakoa, but she also detects other consciousnesses within the mind of Vulcan. It is revealed that Vulcan and his team rescued Scott from Krakoa, and it was previously thought that Krakoa itself released Scott to bring up more victims, probably because that's how it was set originally. Let me see here. And Vulcan was able to hurt the Living Island, which greatly enraged the creature. Vulcan revealed to Cyclops that they were, in fact, brothers, and sent Cyclops away on their jet to safety. As the jet took off, Cyclops watched in horror as the Living Island struck down and seemingly killed Vulcan and his team. Sway was hit first and severed in two at her torso. Her body released the last of her mutant power to slow time down around them, and as Petra was incinerated, she also reacted reflexively and drew them all below the surface into a cave that her power created. There, Vulcan and Darwin lay dying, and Darwin transformed himself into energy and bonded with Vulcan, thus saving them both. They were launched into space along with the Krakoa landmass by Polaris and fell into a state of suspended animation. So that's his space exile. Good explanation, right? All right. I guess. I mean, if Polaris is able to launch an island into space, that's pretty awesome. After the apparent deaths of Vulcan and his team, Cyclops returned to Professor X in a hysterical state, blaming himself for their deaths, and the professor decided it was best for all involved if he altered their memories to forget about the second team and spare everyone the agony. Professor X is an asshole. I'm just gonna say that. For as good as his intentions always are, he's an asshole. Maybe I should do a podcast on Professor X being an asshole. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. All right, Vulcan thus remained on Krakoa inert until a massive backlash of power resulting from M-Day awakened him. Whereupon he returned to Earth to confront the X-Men, revealing the truth behind the Krakoa incident to them. With these revelations, Marvel reaches into Vulcan's mind and releases the subconscious inert form of Darwin, which Vulcan expels from his body. Using this opportunity, The X-Men attack him as they deem him too dangerous to be left alone. Vulcan easily repels their attack and flees the planet, renouncing Cyclops as his brother, and heads for space with the vision of Deken killing his mother raging in his mind, bent on revenge. Now, while traveling through Shi'ar space, he learns from a crew member whose starship he had destroyed that Deken has been comatose for years after his experience with the Emkron crystal, and that Lalandra Nariamani is the current ruler of the Shi'ar. Undaunted, Vulcan continues on his quest for vengeance by engaging a trio of Shi'ar warships and destroying two of them, thereby showing his superiority to the crew of the surviving third ship, which Vulcan then commandeers for his own. After reaching the inner territory of the Shi'ar throne world, Shandalar, the ship is confronted and ordered to surrender by the Imperial Guard. However, the captain of Vulcan's ship had deceived Vulcan as to the guard's true strength, hoping to use them as a pawn in Vice Chancellor Kator's plan to restore the old empire. As a result, Vulcan is unprepared for the true power of the guard, and especially their leader, Gladiator. Vulcan kills several guardsmen in combat, which includes Neutron, Cosmos, Smasher, and Impulse, amongst others, but is defeated by Gladiator and taken to a prison moon. He remains a prisoner there until an agent of the Vice Chancellor frees him from his shackles and directs him to another cell to free Deathbird. However, soon afterwards, Deathbird manages to convince him to at least delay his plan for vengeance after the two become romantically involved. Vulcan then uses his powers to heal Deken's injuries. Afterwards, a grateful Deken asks Vulcan to marry Deathbird. After his wedding, Vulcan throws Professor Xavier into the Emkron crystal, kills Deken, and names himself Emperor of the Shi'ar. Darwin leaps into the crystal after Xavier and soon emerges with him. During the battle, Vulcan kills Corsair, claiming he does not have a father and blaming Corsair for letting his mother die. Now with Xavier's lost telepathy restored by the crystal, he, along with Nightcrawler, Warpath, Darwin, and Hepzibah, are sent back to Earth by Lalandra, locking the ship's programming. Meanwhile, Havoc, Marvel Girl, Polaris, Chad, Raza, and Corvus form a new team of Starjammers bent on defeating Gabriel, who's Vulcan, once and for all, and salvaging the remains of the crippled Shi'ar Empire. The civil war between Vulcan's forces and those loyal to the dethroned Lalandra rages on. Led by Havoc and the Starjammers, Lalandra forces gradually whittle away at Vulcan's forces, which are plagued by defections. The Shi'ar, contrary to Vulcan's expectations, are not happy to have an outsider as their ruler, and Vulcan is discouraged by this, but Deathbird convinces him that they will come to accept him. Warned in advance of a rebel aid on Feather's Edge, Vulcan and his fleet ambush the Starjammers. However, in the middle of the battle, his ship, the Hammer, is destroyed by the Skyar Tal, which translated as Death to the Shi'ar. Vulcan and Gladiator attack the leader of the Skyar Tal and are easily defeated, whereupon they retreat deeper into Shi'ar space. Marvel Girl makes contact with the eldest Skyar Tal and discovers their true origin. They were originally called the Emkron. Early in their history, the Shi'ar attacked them, killing many and causing the rest to flee for their lives. Eventually, the Shi'ar, taking over the planet, took the Emkron crystal as their own, declaring it the sacred gift of the deities Shara and Kaithry. Wow, that's kind of messed up. Alright, the Emkron changing their name to Skyar Tal, then devoted their culture and society to the destruction of the Shi'ar Empire. Even though it is later revealed to the reader that the Skyar Tal discovered the Emkron crystal some 13,000 years earlier and eradicated the then inhabiting species on the planet, since they considered the planet to be holy, the same thing that the Shi'ar have done to them. With their first attack, they destroyed Feather's Edge by transporting a star to obliterate it. Vulcan makes contact with the Starjammers to call a temporary ceasefire. Under the ceasefire, the Shi'ar and the Starjammers decide to take out the facility. Taking out the finality, thus crippling the Scare's biggest threat. Once Havoc and Vulcan are in position to destroy Finality, the Eldest Scar tries to stop them, but Vulcan, discovering the source of the Eldest's power, severs the connection between the Eldest and his brothers, rendering them helpless and the Scar disorganized. The tide of the battle shifts to the Shi'ar, who proceed to attack not only the Scar, but also the Starjammers. Meanwhile, Vulcan blasts Havoc into a sun. Jeez, that is crazy. Okay. Vulcan decides to use Finality to destroy the Skiar by using the weapon to place a star in the middle of their fleet. Havoc returns and, having absorbed enough power to burn him, decides to end things with Vulcan. While they battle, Rachel and Corvus attempt but fail to stop the beacon that will initiate the attack by the Shi'ar. The Shi'ar Imperial Guard end Havoc's battle with Vulcan by appearing with the Starjammers in captivity, threatening to kill them. Before surrendering, Havoc destroys Finality. With Havoc and the Starjammers in custody, Vulcan declares that he will return the Shi'ar Empire to its former glory. That is crazy. What do you guys think of that? Like, that's kind of a wild history, right? There's more to his origin, like about how he came to be outside of comics, but, and I'll get into that in a minute, but what do you guys think? Like, this is kind of intense, right? They took stuff and they kind of, I feel like they stretched that, like, as far as, let's add to the original X-Men history, or not the original, but the second iteration. Let's add to their history and let's throw in some curveballs. But it might work. You know, we got Darwin out of it. I'm not a big fan of Vulcan so far. It's kind of intense, but we got Darwin. Everyone likes Darwin. And let's get into his powers. But like I said, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything I may have missed, anything you like about the character, let me know in the comments. The best way is on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. But you can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. And, you know, I have DMs open, so you can always send me a message with that too. But let's get into his powers. Vulcan is an Omega-level mutant with the ability to psionically manipulate, control, and absorb vast amounts of energy. In addition to traditional energies of the electromagnetic spectrum, Vulcan has displayed control over exotic energies such as Cyclops Optic Blasts and magical energy. Vulcan has used his powers to produce light, heat, force, and electricity, as well as warp or disable large amounts and different types of existing energy sources, tap into and suppress mutant energies, survive in the vacuum of space, and fly. That's a bit of a stretch, but okay. Outside of a planetary atmosphere, his flight speed can even reach near the speed of light. He can track energy signatures over vast interstellar distances, as demonstrated when he located a trio of starships, and he is able to go without food for long periods by directly absorbing energy and can generate protective force fields for interstellar travel. He can manipulate electricity within a person's brain and use the powers of others by manipulating their own energy sources, although he needs to be in their presence to achieve this. The exact limits of his power, power replication abilities are unknown, but he was able to utilize Marvel Girl's telepathy without her consent. Vulcan also possesses the capability of solidifying energy into solid shapes, in effect simulating telekinesis. When he uses his powers, his eyes glow, and he has been confirmed as an Omega-level mutant, his powers elevated to said level thanks to absorbing a massive amount of mutant energies from M-Day. I think that's a bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch, but okay, we'll take it. Maybe because of him being grown in a tube by the Shi'ar, maybe that enhanced his abilities or something. I don't know. All right. Vulcan is able to use his psionic abilities for a variety of uses. Despite little, if any, formal training in the use of his mental powers, Vulcan has demonstrated feats such as completely resisting mental manipulation and assault by far more experienced telepathic beings, and he was able to restore former Shi'ar He was also able to restore former Shi'ar Emperor Deken from a catatonic state, something the most powerful skilled telepaths of the entire Shi'ar Empire had previously been unable to accomplish. Vulcan does not possess any innate telepathic abilities, but can manipulate the telepathic energies of others, which enables him to shield his mind from outside attacks. With the insistence of Deken, he used his energy powers to reactivate the electrical connections in the neurons of Deken's brain that had been damaged by the Imkron crystal. All three Summer brothers have similar powers, as they are each able to absorb certain kinds of celestial energies and rechannel that energy from their bodies. While his brothers, Alex and Scott, are known to be immune to each other's powers, they are apparently not immune to Vulcan's, nor is Vulcan immune to Alex's. Vulcan is also capable of absorbing vast amounts of energy in any form. In an engagement, Vulcan forced Adam Warlock to flee after robbing him of most of his power within seconds. Vulcan's absorption abilities, though vast, have limits. He was unable to absorb or deflect a powerful blast from his brother Havoc, although at the time, Havoc was powered beyond his normal levels, and leaving Vulcan wounded and at the mercy of his brother. Though high-order energy production rapidly depletes his reserves, as demonstrated in his fight against Shi'ar warships and later the Imperial Guard, Vulcan's energy manipulations are not based on said energy reserves. He can continue to manipulate external sources of energy even when they are depleted. Though, when this happens, he is noticeably weaker. Nevertheless, he has been shown to be easily capable of defeating multiple advanced Shi'ar starships when in such a state. Now, after being swallowed by the soil of Krakoa, he absorbed the powers of his teammates Sway, Darwin, and Petra, giving him their powers of time manipulation, physical adaptation, and earth manipulation, respectively. These powers were lost when Rachel Summers was able to give Darwin's psyche the necessary boost to separate himself from Vulcan. When not in possession of Darwin's powers, Vulcan's body is vulnerable to as any normal human as far as durability is concerned. Blows from Black Bolt were shown to be capable of drawing blood and chipping teeth. When battling the X-Men, Vulcan has been susceptible to physical blows. However, Vulcan can use his energy abilities to create force fields or to rebuild damaged or destroyed portions of his body, the total extent of which is unknown, as Vulcan still requires a prosthetic eye after a strike from Gladiator. According to information from his creator, Ed Brubaker, Vulcan has a hidden potential which allows him to fully generate and have control over seven elements, which is fire, earth, electricity, wind, water, darkness, and light. It's like Pokemon level, right? Alright, sometime later, during the Dawn of X, Cyclops wrote Vulcan's name. Hold on. You know what? This is not part of his powers. This is part of his history, which I'm going to skip because it wasn't that important. I just pasted it. I wrote it in the wrong section. But yeah. I mean, this dude is hella powerful, right? Like, this is absurdly powerful. Let me get into some fun facts. In 2014, Entertainment Weekly ranked Vulcan 77 in their Let's Rank Every X-Men Ever list. Alright, the idea of a third Summers brother was brought up first in X-Men Volume 2, Number 23, when Mr. Sinister mentioned offhandedly that Cyclops had brothers. When Cyclops pressed him on the added S, Sinister said it was accidental. Let's keep that in mind. Each of the Summers brothers has a signature energy color. Scott is red, of course. Alex has blue, and Gabriel, so Vulcan, has yellow. And because of his powers, Gabriel can't get brain freeze. So he can drink as many Slurpees as he wants. He can just have it on tap, not worrying about brain freeze. So what do you guys think? Like, let me know in the comments. Send me an email at b4itall@yahoo.com. Send me a message on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. Let me know what you think. What would you do with this character? How would you treat this character? Do you love him? Do you hate him? Can you stand him? You know, like, what's going on? With that being said, like, what can you really say about Vulcan, though? He's a kid that was thrown in as a random plot twist from something that I personally believe was a typo. You know, someone caught it later and made a storyline out of it. You know, like, they added the S. They said brothers instead of brother. And then, I don't believe it was the same issue that Cyclops questioned him. I think it was later. So is it, you know, they made a storyline out of it. Is it good? It's decent. I'll admit it's decent. Is it compelling? Maybe. I think for me, the detachment for me is that Corsair, the father, would have dealt with the Shi'ar for years before he was discovered as a character. Like, he would have dealt with the Shi'ar for years because he was like a space pirate. And it was never known that his unborn son was saved and basically engineered right under his nose. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. I am not buying that at all. That's kind of a big plot hole for me. You know, I mean, this dude's up in space doing stuff and he doesn't know that he has a son. Like, come on. Aside from that, is the character interesting? Yes. Yeah, he's totally interesting. But to me, he's ultimately condemned to obscurity because of his origin story and the lack of sense it provides. I would have much rather have had Vulcan be a human with Cyclops and Havok's DNA spliced with his, and that's how he would become Vulcan. Like, we could even go as far as saying that it was the offspring of Corsair, where he may have been imprisoned by the Shi'ar, seduced by one of their plants, you know, like someone that kind of went in to the prison, befriended him, did what they needed to do to get what they needed to get. And then that fetus was given the DNA that the Shi'ar may have gotten and stored from previous interactions with Cyclops and Havok. I think it's far-fetched, but to me, something like that is a little bit more feasible, because the Shi'ar is supposed to have, they're supposed to be vastly more advanced in a technologically speaking aspect. You know, like, their technology is supposed to be way, way above and beyond anything we have. So it wouldn't be capitalizing on something like a typo from an issue years ago. It would actually be something that had a little bit more originality, and it would have put the Shi'ar in this, like, I don't know, this kind of more diabolical light to me. But that's just my idea. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know, am I onto something? Could this have worked better? I think so, but I'd love to know what your opinion is. You can let me know on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I try to use hashtag Superhero Deep Dive, and the DMs are always open. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And you can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Comment, like, subscribe, share. Help me grow the channel. Give me your request. Give me anything like that for future episodes. Let's have a discussion. And the good thing about YouTube that I like within the comments is that if you have an idea, you can put it out there. I can respond and other people can respond too. So we can grow like that and have a full discussion about it. We just keep it respectful. That's all I ask. But yeah, let me know what you all think. I think I'm going to head out for now. It's Memorial Day weekend. I get a day off from work. I get to work on this and I get to have a cookout. So I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone's happy. I hope everyone is safe and I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. Hopefully I will see you next time. Bye-bye, guys. Take it easy.